Romans chapter 4. The subject matter in chapter 4 of Romans seems to continue the thought that we considered in chapter 3, and that thought is about justification. Justification is God declaring us to be righteous. Not so much that we deserve it, because we certainly don't, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for us. Once we receive Christ as our Savior, that's applied to our account, and we are then declared to be righteous. I'm just going to start out by reading the introduction of our notes here. This chapter explains how God can be righteous and yet justify or declare righteous ungodly people through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation is a broad term that includes all that God does for the believer through Christ. Justification is a legal term describing our perfect standing before God because of the righteousness of Christ. In this chapter, Paul uses the example of Abraham to prove three great facts about justification. And those three facts are the outline in your notes here. Verses 1 through 8, justification is by faith, not works. Verses 9 to 17, justification is by grace, not law. And then verses 18 to 25, justification is by resurrection power, not human effort. I want to start out with verse number 1, and we'll read through verse 8, just so that we can get a little bit of thought on this very first point, justification being by faith and not works. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Now, all of us remember, of course, Abraham is Old Testament, right? Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Please notice how plain God makes this for all of us. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So here's the first 8 verses. And again, the thought, justification is by faith and not works. In Genesis 15:6, it describes for us again what the Apostle Paul is mentioning here in the early verses of chapter 4, and that is that Abraham was justified by believing what God said and what God did and what God promised, by faith in what God said, by believing what God said, then Abraham was justified. This is an important thought for the people, especially at Paul's particular time in history, because many of them were Jewish people who, many of them still trusting in the law and the works of the law, and the Jewish people, of course, have for generations revered Abraham as their, you know, father. You remember this, it's in your notes also, but Luke 16:22, they thought about paradise as Abraham's bosom. They really put a lot of premium on Abraham and who he was. And Paul is making very clear here in verses 1 and 2 that it wasn't Abraham's works that justified him, but rather his faith, his belief, his trust in the Lord. You see, works, things that we do, or monies that we give, or like for us, you know, attending church or whatever, any works that we do, that might make men and women think that we're justified, but it doesn't make God think that we're justified. Because before God, the only justification comes when he declares you to be righteous. See? You can work, your whole life good works and not be justified. It doesn't come by the things that you and I do. We remember, don't we, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. See, it's not up to us, as far as works is concerned, to be justified. The book of Romans and the book of James actually present two different looks at justification. Romans looks at it from the standpoint of God, and James looks at it from the standpoint of men. Romans shows us that justification is by faith, because that's how God sees it, all right? But James is talking about justification before men is shown and demonstrated by our works. You know, James mentions the fact, and I reread this passage that I have in your notes there, James 2, verses 14 to 26. James makes this little statement there. He says, show me your faith without your works. And of course, if we're all honest, it can't be done. To demonstrate to someone else that you're a man of faith or a woman of faith or justified, you can't do it without your works. And you got to remember that the book of James is all about how man sees it, okay? And how you are showing your faith to other men and women. It's by means of your works. We've said this before, and I say it again tonight, we don't work and do works to get saved. We work and do works because we are saved. There's a huge difference. I think often, and I know you've probably thought of this before too, but the thief on the cross and his conversation back and forth with the Lord Jesus, and Jesus saying to him, you know, after the thief's statements about belief and so forth, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't mention anything about quick, you know, baptize this guy so he can go to heaven, or somebody quick put his name on a church roll so he can go to heaven. Nothing like that whatsoever. It was his faith. There was no way, and I know you know this, but there was no way that the thief on the cross could do any works to get to heaven. It all had to be by faith. And that's how it is as far as our relationship with God. So the book of Romans and the book of James really present two different aspects of the same truth, one as God sees it, one as man sees it. And Abraham, according to what Romans is saying here, the Apostle Paul wants to make it really clear to all of us, and especially to those Jewish people, that it was Abraham's faith which justified him. The gift of righteousness is something that I wanted to talk about quickly also. The gift of righteousness. When we got saved, what happened is we gave God our sin. He gave us his righteousness. How many of you think that's a pretty good trade-off? I mean, I think that's a pretty good trade-off. But isn't it amazing when you stop and think about it? That you gave God your sin, and I gave God my sin. And what did he give us in place of that? He gave us his righteousness. Which is why he sees us today as right with God. Because we have his righteousness covering us. All right? Covering us. So it's not by our works. It's because we believed in him. And that righteousness then is a gift from God, like Ephesians chapter 2 says, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Abraham had that same kind of justification that you and I have, even though he was Old Testament, because he believed God. Again, verse 1 and 2, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And then verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, that belief in God, was counted unto him for righteousness. I don't know if you understand exactly what's being said here. I hope you do. I think probably you do. But Abraham was saved the exact same way we are. It's by believing in God and what he said. We've talked about it this way before. If this microphone here can represent the cross upon which Jesus died, all those Old Testament saints look forward to that event. You and I, as New Testament saints, we look back upon that event. But it still centers right here at the cross. And Abraham had to believe that there was a Redeemer coming that would take away his sin. And that's exactly what God promised. So he believed God. He trusted God. It's not by works. If it is by works, then every man is going to come up short. And if it is by works, then according to verse 4, God is a debtor. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Think about the words. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. How does justification come? Because God grants it to us. It comes by way of him that justifieth. Notice the words again. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Every man or woman, boy or girl, who's trying to get to heaven by way of his own works is going to come up short. Remember, the Bible says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't measure up. There's no way that you can. Matthew 5, verse 48 says that we have to be as perfect as God. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Can you do that? I can't do that. I don't think you can do that either. James tells us, I think it's in chapter 2, that if you are guilty of breaking even one of God's commandments, you're guilty of breaking all of them. So how are we ever going to be perfect? We can't. There's no way. I don't know this, and please don't take offense when I tell you this, but I'm guessing that most everybody here in this room, and I include myself, has broken at least one of God's commandments today. And if that be true, according to what James says, you've broken them all. So how are you going to be perfect before God? You can't be, nor can I. None of us can be. That's why justification has to be by faith, and that's why justification cannot be by works, and that's why justification has to be something that God gives to us, he grants to us, he declares us to be righteous. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift, 100%, and there's no works involved in it whatsoever. God says it is a gift. Not only was Abraham justified by faith, but according to verse 6, and 7 and 8, so was King David. Notice what it says in verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, look at this, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Let's pause for a minute and concentrate on that word imputeth. That's a word that we would say today like giving or declaring or presenting to you. It isn't something that you attained or worked. I was working this afternoon a little bit on the Bible study for Isaiah, and we're going to get into chapter 35. Lord willing, we'll finish up 34, and then we'll get into chapter 35. And one of the things that you're going to see in the notes when you get the notes for chapter 35 is that the two words attained and obtained. There's a vast difference between those two words. Attained means you accomplished something. Obtained means you were given something. And the righteousness that we are given, and it's, we're going to talk about it some on Sunday night if we get to that portion of chapter 35. The righteousness that we have as a Christian is something that we didn't attain. It's something we obtained. God gave it to us. Similar to this word imputeth, all right? God gives you something. God put it onto your account. God chalked it up to your account. God wrote it down for you. God declared you to be righteous. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness, and the next two words say, without works. Your works, if you're trusting that to get you to heaven, your works will only taint the salvation that you were given. I'm saying if you're trusting your works to get you to heaven, your works will only taint the salvation you were given. It's like this. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said, if you could add one thread to the garment of salvation, it would ruin the whole garment. It's not of us. It's not our works. It's nothing that we have done. I'm living my whole life. You know, you've heard me talk about it many times. 51 years as a Christian this year, 51 years, and going to church and giving tithes and offerings and telling others about the Lord and passing out tracts and, for me, you know, preaching sermons and counseling with people and going through new converts classes, you know, all the different things that I've done throughout all the years does nothing to get me into heaven. It won't even crack the door open to heaven. You get that? Nothing. Nothing. You say, then why do you do it? Because I'm saved. And I love my Savior. And I want to serve Him. That's why I do it. Not to get to heaven, because I'm already going to heaven. It's already been settled. When I got saved 51 years ago. And David, same way. And Abraham, the same way. Justified before God. There's a passage that I wanted to just read for you here. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Says this about this topic that we're talking about. Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I like the fact that the Apostle Paul talked about God imputing righteousness to our account, and David talks about here God not imputing our sin to our account. Don't you like that? Because really what should be on my account is all that sin. But God said, no, I'll wipe all that clean, and instead I'll put my righteousness there. Woo! Did I wake you up? That's pretty exciting. I mean, really, when you think about how wonderful this is, what I deserve to have on my account is all that sin. But God says, no, because you trusted in me and what my son did for you on the cross, I'm going to wipe all that sin away and I'm going to put instead in its place my righteousness. How can you not be happy about that? How can you not be excited about that? How can you not be thrilled that that's exactly what justification is all about? I mean, it's such an exciting topic when you think about it. And so David, like Abraham, was justified before God by his faith. He was justified because God forgave him and covered his sin. That's according to verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. God has forgiven his sin. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So he's justified because God forgave and covered his sin. He's justified because God did not impute his sin to his account. He's justified also, according to verse 6, because God imputed his, God's, righteousness to David's account. That's verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Boy, what a great situation that is for David. But wait, what a great situation that is for you. Amen. And for me. I mean, it's pretty wonderful. It's something that we really ought to be very thankful for and very excited about. So Abraham was justified before God by means of faith. David was justified before God by means of faith. And you and I either are or can be justified the exact same way. By faith. All right? Note, I'm in your notes now, about two-thirds of the way down. Note how often Paul uses either these words, reckon, impute, or count, in his argument for justification by faith. You can find one of those words, or more than that, in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24. The words reckon, impute, and count all mean the same thing, which is to put to man's account. That's a pretty good deal. Now, they don't do this anymore that I know of. But I can remember when I was a youngster living on the farm in the little town of Eureka, which is just outside of where our property was. When I was growing up, there were at one time two family-owned grocery stores there. And I won't mention the name of the families who owned them, but they were people that lived in that town. And I don't know if they both did this. I think they both did, but I know one of them in particular did, because our family shopped most of the time at this other store. But again, not mentioning the family names. But my mom and dad actually had an account there. And you could go in there and you could get a few groceries and they'd write it down. And then the end of the month you'd come and you'd settle up on your account. Okay, now they don't do that anymore as far as I know. In fact, in that little town of Eureka, neither one of those grocery stores are there anymore. And it's just a small family grocery store. You know, they didn't have all the things like Walmart has or Woodman's or anything like that. But just, you know, go in there and get some items. And I can remember, you know, sometimes I would be sent to the store with a list. And I had to try to find those items and then make sure that the owner, who was at the counter, would write down, you know, what mom and dad owed for those items. And then, of course, they'd bag them for me with a slip. And I would go home with that to the house and give that to mom or dad. And then at the end of the month, they would have to go and settle up, you know, with that bill. So all those things being written down on that account, is like the words reckon, impute, and count. Okay? Those three words could be used for that. Now, the comparison I want to make is going into the store and getting those items, and then the owner of the store writing them down on our account would be, to me, like my sins that I've committed, okay, that I owe because of what I've done. Okay, my sins on that account. And then at the end of the month, when that account is settled and the bill is paid and there's nothing left on the account, that's comparable to Jesus wiping away all that sin and putting down there, you know, paid in full. Okay, we have a song about that in our hymnal, don't we? And several songs that speak about that. You know, but one in particular that I'm thinking of right now, the old account was settled long ago. Amen. Right? And see, throughout our lifetime, you and I have talked about this before, I remember this, but if you only sinned once a day, that'd be a pretty good day, but if you only sinned once a day, that's still 365 sins in a year. And this year it'd be 366 sins, because it's leap year, right? And that's just if you did it once a day. But then, times that by your age. Now, I realize we're getting up into some high numbers here for some of us. But times that by your age, that's a lot of sin. That's on your account, or could be on your account. Except for the fact that, don't you love this? God the Father said, no, because you believed in my Son as your Savior. His blood has washed all those sins away, and that account is clear. And now instead of all those sins being labeled there, it says paid in full. Amen. Don't you love that? Friend, that's justification. That's justification. It's not because you deserve it. It's not because you're such a wonderful person. And I want to make this very, very clear. It's not because you joined the Baptist church. No, no. It's because you put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. And God the Father applied the blood of his Son to your account, which washed all that sin away. And instead, now it says, and it's been stamped by God the Father, paid in full. God has declared you and me to be righteous. That's justification. And God did this, see? God imputed not our sin to that account. He imputed his righteousness to that account. So justification means, and again, I'm in the notes, justification means that God's righteousness is imputed or put to my account, which gives me a right standing before God. I don't know, again, about you, but I love this thought that, you know, people see us as we are, and they see our shortcomings and our failures, and they, you know, because none of us are perfect, we do make mistakes along the way, and we sometimes say things we shouldn't say or do things we shouldn't do or whatever. And so sometimes people remember that for the longest time. We all know that. But as God sees us, he doesn't see those things. He sees our account paid in full, and instead, his righteousness applied to that account. God has imputed his righteousness to my account, which gives me then a right standing with God. Thinking back to that illustration I gave you about that little country store, that little family store, when you go into the store and you owe a large bill because, you know, there were people there that didn't settle up at the end of the month and their bill grew, pretty soon they didn't have any credit there anymore and they couldn't get anything there anymore. You know, when you go into the store and that's how your account is, you feel guilty because you still owe the store owner all that money for those goods that you never paid for. Okay, you feel guilty, but when you go in there and you know you came in at the end of the month and you settled the score and your account is clear, you go in there with a free conscience because you're in right standing with the owner. This is kind of how it is with salvation. Justification is God taking that matter of all my sin, washing it all away, putting paid in full on there, and now I have a right standing with God. Now, you probably feel like I do. I don't feel like I deserve that. I truly don't. But I sure am glad it's true. I have a right standing with God. When we get to heaven, I hope you'll take this in the right way. When we get to heaven, we deserve to be there because of Jesus. Amen. I don't deserve to be there because of me. I deserve to be there because of Jesus. And that God has justified me. All right? I'm back in the notes again. Justification, that was little letter B. Little letter C there says, sanctification means that God's righteousness is, notice the different word here, imparted. In the previous point, imputed, this word is imparted, which means made a part of my life by the Holy Spirit. God's righteousness imparted to me, which gives me a right standing before men. See, has your life changed since you've been saved? Oh, yes. Mine too. My desires have changed. There's so many things right now. I'm guessing you and I feel the same way on these things, but there's so many things that are going on in the world right now that really do grieve my spirit. And it's because I'm saved. Things that you see on television, things that you see in certain shows and advertisements and, you know, billboards and magazine ads and, you know, just different things that are going on in the world and society today. It grieves our spirit. Why? Because we've been justified. We've been saved. And the righteousness of Christ is not only imputed to my account, that's justification, it's also been imparted to me by the Holy Spirit. And my life has changed, and my want-tos and my desires and my likes and dislikes, that's all changed because of Christ in me, see? So it gives me a right standing before men. Now you say, well, not everybody's going to agree with your feelings on those things, and I know that. But I know this also. Other people who are saved agree with me because it grieves their spirit too. And by the way, God agrees with me. I know that from reading his word, which is where I get these views and values and so forth, is from his word. So that's sanctification, okay? Justification and sanctification. Again, letter D, both are a part of salvation. One is faith in God, that's justification, which then produces faithfulness to God, that's sanctification. So the question there, number two, is, are you justified before God? I'm looking around the room tonight, and I'm believing that most everybody that's here is justified before God. And I have two questions there. Does God know it? And then the second question, does man see it? You know, if you're truly justified, God will know it, and I think man will see it. And that's really, to me, as I read verses 1 to 8, that's the lessons that we see from Abraham's life and David's life. Neither man was perfect, but they were trying to live their life for the Lord and to honor Him and please Him. Lord willing, next week we'll get back together and we'll start that second thought, verses 9 to 17, that justification is by grace, not law. Justification is by grace, not law. How about we close in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for justification. We owe a great debt because you have declared us to be righteous. Not a person here deserves it. Not a person here can possibly earn it. But you have granted that to us. You have imputed that to us, to our account. And I know I speak on behalf of all of us. We want to say thank you. Help us now to live for you and to be a good testimony for you, to be a bright and shining light for you as we live our life each and every day. Bless, please, as we close this portion of our service. In Jesus' name, amen.